Chapter 70. Letheferus. Letheferus. L-E-T-H-I-F-E-R-O-U-S. Deadly. Bringing death or destruction. Bearing death. From Latin, Lethifer. Letifer. From Letum. Death plus fur, furus. Plus English, us. It's been a very, very long time since the force of chakra alone knocked Shikaku off his feet. The last time, he thinks, was in the Third War when his battalion was caught in an ambush and Minato saved them. He'd been tired and on the edge of chakra exhaustion, and the sudden appearance of the Yondaime had made him stagger and trip and fall to his knees. This is absolutely nothing like that. Instead of a sudden starburst of impact that vanishes quickly, this is the weight of gravity reasserting itself, collapsing down on top of him and making his knees buckle with the force of it. There's an edge of corrosion to it, a stinging bite like acid against his skin that's half buried under a wash of cool, clear chakra, like high up winds or deep water. Pale blue light flickers across the Hokage's office, casting dancing shadows even in the brightness of morning, and then steadies. From somewhere close, practically right below them, there's a startled cry, and the chakra blazes again, more controlled and even stronger. Shikaku takes half a second to assess his immediate surroundings. Sarutobi is behind the desk, Tsume caught between Shibi and Hiyashi as they hold her up, Fugaku on Hiyashi's other side, keeping the Hyuga clan head on his feet. Choza has Inoichi, the Yamanaka, pale like he's about to faint again, but everyone's still conscious. So Shikaku gets his feet under him and pushes up, staggers a step, and practically throws himself at the window to see what's happening below. There's a bijou in the street. There's a bijou in the street facing off against a redhead in an Akatsuki cloak, one of the academy teachers scrambling out of the way as a seal barrier goes dark. Shikaku's breath catches in his throat, because he remembers all too well what the last rampaging bijou cost Konoha. Two of his good friends, countless shinobi lives, years of rebuilding and pain, and... "We have to get down there and help," Tsume says, and Kuromaru rumbles his agreement. The children in the academy, of course. And since an alarm is sounding from the direction of the barrier division, it's safe to say the redhead isn't the only one to get through the protections on Konoha. Damn it, Shikaku isn't prepared to deal with situations this troublesome. But he has to, because he's Jonin Commander. Because Minato appointed him, and he swore when he first took up his Hatayate to always protect Konoha. And his son is down there, right in the line of fire. "You, Hiyashi, and Shibi will be needed elsewhere," he corrects grimly. "Head towards the prison and make sure Pain stays locked up. If he's escaped already, track him down and call for backup. Fugaku, the military police. Choza and I will contain..." "All three of us will contain that fight," Inoichi puts in, flatly. And before Shikaku can even open his mouth to argue, he's pushing out of Choza's hold and heading for the door at a loping run. Shikaku curses, turning to head after him, and then pulls up short and looks at the Hokage. Sarutobi's expression was grim before, when Shikaku brought up Root, though they hadn't managed to advance the conversation much further than the opening. Now it's dark and weary in equal measure, and when he feels Shikaku's eyes on him, Sarutobi looks up with a faint smile that has nothing left in it of humor. "Go," the Sandaime says quietly, I believe you are needed, as am I. A part of Shikaku wants to hesitate, to doubt. He remembers the desperate way Shibi gripped Torune, the grief and joy in Inoichi's eyes when Fu woke up, thinks of Sarutobi knowing and Danzo having permission to take their children, but for all his faults, maybe because of them, Sarutobi is the Sandaime, the god of Shinobi, and still their Hokage. Shikaku nods once, short and sharp, and gets a hand on the windowsill. He vaults out, a touch of chakra cushioning his landing, and straightens up as his teammates burst out of the building. In the same moment, there's a scream, high and shrill from within the academy. A glance at Shikaku is all Choza needs to know the path of his thoughts, and the man nods. Inoichi, he says. And for once in his life, Inoichi doesn't argue, just shoots Shikaku a look that warns him to stay safe and follows Choza at a run. Which leaves Shikaku with the bijou and the missing nin. Fabulous. Troublesome, Shikaku mutters, and takes a long, swift leap to snatch the academy teacher, Iruka, sometimes the Hokage's assistant and one of Kakashi's friends. Of course he doesn't have the sense to retreat, out of the way of a spray of black sand. A bubble instantly snaps into place around it, then rockets skyward to join the mass high above them, and the Rokubi makes an angry sound and opens its mouth. A cloud of bubbling ooze surges across the earth, and the redhead darts back. That same black sand snapping up in a wall as another man drops down between them. Shikaku takes one look at him and curses, dragging Iruka back another 3 steps. Want to tell me what the hell the Sandaime Kazekage is doing here? He demands. He was supposed to have died 10 years ago. Now that he has a moment, though, it's easy enough to pick out the slashed Suna Hitayate the red-headed boy is wearing, the careful movements of his fingers, even though what have to be chakra strings are entirely invisible. A puppeteer, clearly, and one with a penchant for controlling human, and probably dead, bodies. It's enough to spark recognition. Would be even if Shikaku hadn't heard the name from Kurama already. Sasori of the Red Sand. Because this day didn't have enough excitement already. It's poison, is all Iruka manages to get out as he finds his feet, scrambling back upright. He's pale and shaking with more than just adrenaline, but his eyes flicker between the bijou and the missing nin with a care that says he's looking for an opening, not a way to escape. The sand is poison and so is the gas. Utakata was trapping it, but... But Utakata clearly isn't here right now, Shikaku thinks grimly, watching as the Rokubi's acid eats through the Kazekage's black sand. He casts a wary glance up at the bubbles above them. The Rokubi took over? He was hurt, Iruka says, partly between defensive and worried. Sasori got him, and he was coughing up blood, I think. He doesn't finish, but he doesn't have to. Shikaku knows the many ways a Jinchuriki's seal can break, and if the Rokubi took advantage while Utakata was in pain, he could have easily overwhelmed the boy. Shikaku takes a breath. We need to contain them both, he says, opens his mouth to ask Iruka to find the other Kage as backup, loses the thought on a desperate shout. Black sand stabs at them like lances, sharp and too swift to stop, and Shikaku jerks back. Already knowing he's going to be too slow, too late, a hand on Iruka's arm, ready to throw the chunin out of the way with the last moment he has, and... No! The bijou cries, high and something close to desperate as it moves far faster than a creature of its bulk should be able to. 3 tails curl around Iruka and Shikaku, shielding them, and as he ducks, Shikaku can see the spray of iron sand shatter against the Rokubi's slimy skin. There's another loud hiss of acid and a gout of smoke, and the Rokubi makes a sound that's almost mournful. You're making me kill the trees, it berates Sasori. Utakata doesn't want to break things. He likes it here. You're being careless. Shikaku blinks, absolutely certain he heard that wrong. He casts an assessing glance at Iruka to see if his auditory hallucination has carried over, and apparently it has, because Iruka looks wide-eyed and equally disbelieving. What? Shikaku asks, entirely at a loss. The rampaging monster he'd been absolutely certain was going to wreck Konoha withdraws its tails, sliding forward to loom over the puppeteer. We are going to stop you, it says. And that voice is still incongruously light and almost bubbly, but there's an edge to it that feels like deep, vast anger and a fractured glimpse of the drowning darkness in the deepest parts of the ocean. Kurama told us what you want, and the sage's mother can't come back. We won't let her. This is our world now, not hers. It's little comfort that, for a brief moment, Sasori looks just as baffled as Shikaku feels. We are Akatsuki, he says, eyes narrowing faintly, as if he thinks the Rokubi has mistaken him for someone else. The slug burbles, faintly sad. Your pawns, it corrects. Just like that body is your puppet, you've been the princess's puppet. Utakata sees it too. You hurt him, but he still pities you. And so do I. But I've been me for 1,000 years now. I don't want to go back to being the Jubi. And none of the others do either. That is a lot more reasoning and calm than the Kyuubi ever showed when it attacked Konoha. And a hell of a lot more regard for its host as well. Shikaku pauses, calculating odds, and maybe. Maybe it's possible that the slug is genuine in this. It certainly didn't need to protect them the way it did. Which makes his next decision just slightly less idiotic, all told. Taking a breath, he shapes the rat seal, then the bird seal, and focuses. His shadow is touching the edge of the Rokubi's, and the Bijou's shadow is more than large enough to make this work. Another moment, judging the extent of the shadows with a thought, and a whirlwind of shadows sweeps up, streaks of darkness winding tight around each of Sasori's limbs, and the puppeteer snarls as the Kazekage puppet jerks but doesn't manage more than a lurching step. Take him out, Shikaku orders, drags Iruka's shadow into the jutsu and doubles down. He lived through the third shinobi war, fought Suna's puppeteers in far larger numbers than just one lone shinobi, no matter how brilliant. And there's no reason the techniques he, Inoichi, and Choza developed in those battles won't work here and now, even with a more unconventional ally. Thankfully, the Rokubi doesn't even hesitate. Thick white goo, far less innocuous than the sticky substance splattered across Konoha after the Jinchuriki's game of tag, sweeps over the street, hissing and frothing. It slams into the puppet, which collapses with a groan of straining metal and wood, and subsumes it completely as it races forward. Shikaku feels Sasori start to struggle, pours more chakra into the shadow-stitching jutsu, and doesn't allow himself to look away, braced for the gut-churning reek of dissolving flesh and metal warps, wood breaks, and with a scream that's full of aching fury and bone-deep terror, Sasori collapses, hollowed-out limbs giving way, torso filled with weapons buckling, chakra threads wink out of existence, and with a low, rattling hiss, the Rokubi's acid swallows Sasori completely. Into the silence, Iruka makes a quiet sound, stepping forward like he's going to bolt across the field of poison and acid without care. Utakata, he says, and it shakes a little. But he doesn't waver even when the Rokubi turns to look at him, eye stalks swaying. There's a pause, and then the Rokubi burbles again, this time filled with humor and light cheer. It slides forward, leaning down almost double to look Iruka in the face. And whatever expression it's making, Shikaku gets the feeling it's meant to be a smile. Hello, it says, friendly and warm. Utakata was very worried about you, but he was happy you saved him, too. Iruka looks a little like he's about to faint, but he manages a slightly weak smile in return. Is he okay? Thorokubi pauses for a long moment. I can't go back yet, it says, a little mournful, and casts a glance up at the field of bubbles in the sky. Can you make a ceiling scroll? He's unconscious, and if I stop holding the jutsu, it will be bad. I can do that, Iruka agrees instantly, and starts digging through the pockets of his flak jacket with nearly frantic hurry. How troublesome, Shikaku thinks, eyeing the spectacle of Chunin and Biju, and pulls a blank scroll and a bottle of ink out of his weapons pouches. Here, he offers, waving them at Iruka. You probably know the seals better than I do. Iruka flushes, but doesn't argue. Most shinobi tend to buy pre-made scrolls for convenience, while Iruka has to teach the diagram to children extensively. It only takes him a moment to sketch the seals onto the scroll, and he sets it on the ground, adds a touch of chakra, and steps back. In a wave of iridescent light, the bubbles sweep down, pouring into the scroll to leave the sky clear. The lines of the seal shimmer gold for a moment, then settle into black, and the scroll refurls itself with a snap, rolling several feet to come to a stop by Iruka's sandals. The chunin isn't even looking, though. His eyes are on the Rokubi's bulk as it starts to glow cool blue, then fades out like mist disappearing before the sun. The image of the slug vanishes, and in its place, a teenager in a tattered blue yukata and an entirely incongruous flower crown collapses to the ground, bloody and breathing unsteadily. Utakata! Iruka cries, and before Shikaku can catch a hold of him, he's scrambling around the dispersing pools of acid to drop to his knees beside the Jinchuriki. His hands hover for a moment, as if he's not sure where he can touch, but a faint sound of pain and a flicker of amber eyes between dark lashes has him moving again, pulling the Jinchuriki's arm over his shoulder and wrapping his own arm around Utakata's waist. He heaves them both mostly upright, Utakata limp against his side, and winces when the motion drags another whimper from the Jinchuriki. Even so, before his eyes are even fully open, Utakata rasps, "You're okay?" "I'm fine," Iruka tells him. "We have to get you to the hospital. Tsunade-sama will..." Utakata shakes his head. "The others. The children. More puppets." Shikaku takes one look back at the academy, and he's not a censor the way Inoichi is, but even he can tell there's no fighting going on. "Sasori is dead," he says, which is probably one of the larger understatements of his life. "The academy is safe, but Iruka is right. If your Biju hasn't managed to heal you yet, I think you need a medic's help." The stubbornness that slides over Utakata's expression is something Shikaku has seen on every young shinobi, still unaware or uncaring of their limits in the face of teammates still in danger. "No, I can't. Kurama needs help. I can't feel him anymore, and he was fighting, but..." He tries to take a step away from Iruka, but his knees buckle instantly, and he collapses back against the chunin's side with a sound that's equal parts frustration and grief. "Take him to the hospital," Shikaku orders Iruka, rolling his eyes. "I'll find the older Jinchuriki and send them after Uzumaki." "Yes, sir." Iruka gives him a grateful nod, takes a staggering step, and then finds his balance with another shinobi almost his size dragging like dead weight. Utakata doesn't manage much as he coughs, hard enough to shake his whole frame, still clearly suffering from Sasori's poison. But they round the corner without falling and disappear from sight. Shikaku watches them go, then takes a breath and scoops up the scroll, tucking it away gingerly. There are footsteps behind him, and without turning to look, he asks, "Everyone all right?" "We stopped the puppets in the hallway," Choza answers, as his shadow falls over Shikaku and his voice is steady. "You took out the puppeteer before they could make a nuisance of themselves, though. What a drag." "I thought we were done with puppeteers after the war," Inoichi complains, stopping at Shikaku's shoulder. "How troublesome." Shikaku rolls his eyes at his best friends, glancing back. "The kids?" he asks. Inoichi smiles a little. "The two Jinchuriki girls barricaded all of the younger classes in the practice hall and armed the upper class and teachers to stand guard. They're fine, but we left them where they are.
They'll be safe with that kind of firepower looking out for them, Chosa agrees. Where to next?
Shikaku frowns, considering. If Inoichi was at full strength, he'd take them after Kurama, because the idea of an Uzumaki, and apparently a 10th Jinchuriki, though as far as Shikaku is aware, Kurama hasn't confirmed the rumor yet, in severe enough trouble that Utakata was desperate to get to him, isn't overly comforting. But Inoichi is still on the edge of chakra exhaustion, and while Shikaku and Choza can fight without him, they'll be cutting their power by a third if they try. Even low on chakra, Inoichi is a crafty bastard, and a sensor to boot.
Everyone is going to be fighting blindly, he says grimly,
casting a glance over the streets before them. The alarm bells mean civilians are scattering, heading for the shelters reinforced with the Nidaime seals, so that takes care of at least one problem. The shinobi are another matter, especially with so many foreign squads in the village. Especially with so many kage, who are an asset as long as they work together, but a stumbling block if they won't. 100 years of competition and war has Shikaku falling on the side of won't.
I could, Inoichi starts.
No,
Shikaku and Choza chorus, already more than able to guess what he's going to suggest. At Inoichi's glare, Shikaku rolls his eyes.
The mind-body transmission jutsu only lasts 10 seconds before you start bleeding out of the nose, idiot. I need more time than that. We should get to somewhere central and start organizing squads for defense.
The Jonin standby station, Choza suggests. Since the Hokage is here, that's the next most likely place people will gather.
It's not perfect, but at least it's something. Shikaku nods, grabs Inoichi, and calls up a Shushin, vanishing in a whirl of leaves. It's possible Konan should have thought this out a little more thoroughly.
Konan,
Jiraiya says, equal parts grim and tired as he watches her.
Come on, let him go, and I'll take you back inside, and we can work all of this out later.
Konan glares at him, fury rising as cold as Arctic winds, and doesn't allow her grip on Nagato to waver. He can't walk, can't use his chakra with the way it's sealed, and the grim slant to his mouth says he knows just how dire things are for them right now. Changing the world is a dream, something to cling to on long, dark nights, but right now Konan would settle for getting back to Ame, getting back home. Braced behind Jiraiya, Kushina and Yagura are both watching them with faintly hostile expressions, anger in the lines of their bodies, and chakra sparking around them. Both of them have their reasons to be angry, to hate Nagato and Madara and all of Akatsuki, but Konan wonders if they've realized just how much she loathes them in return. The great nations were responsible for so much of what she and Nagato and Yaiko suffered, and now they're watching their hopes crumble for a third time, lost to the force of a wayward Uzumaki who thinks a handful of children and tailed beasts matter more than an end of wars.
You lost any right you had to use that tone with us years ago, Konan bites out,
feels her fingernails dent cloth where she's holding Nagato's arm over her shoulders, and forces herself to breathe out.
You left, Sensei, and you never even looked for us.
Jiraiya's faint flinch is all too visible.
I thought you were dead, Konan, he counters.
It would make Konan laugh if she were an ounce less furious.
And I thought you were a spymaster, she retorts.
And her tone is more cutting than she intended, but she doesn't regret it. But once you'd written us off, we were nothing to you. We should have known with how you left your team so easily in the first place.
Anger flickers in dark eyes. Just a momentary spark. She remembers Jiraiya's abilities well enough to feel a dart of fear. But she's not a little girl folding paper flowers and dreaming of the past anymore. She's Kunoichi. She's Akatsuki. And she won't let him stop her. She remembers Hanzo, the confrontation in the rain, remembers helplessness as Yaiko committed suicide and Nagato crippled himself, all to save her, and grits her teeth. She'll never allow herself to be helpless again. A breath in, and she lets it out with a rush of chakra laced through it, will and intent rising. The top layer of paper over her skin separates, whirls up and around as more pieces from her weapons pouch join it, and she shapes a seal with her free hand. The papers twist in on themselves, reform into clones and shuriken and explosive tags, and in the confusion of their sweeping dance, Konan leaps back, casts a genjutsu reinforced with origami, and drags Nagato back around the side of the detention center.
The others,
Nagato manages, letting her shift him to lean against the wall as she stoops to study the seal that spread across his body like fractured bands.
Sasori went after the youngest Jinchuriki, and Madara went to collect Kisame,
she answers. Most of her attention is on the faint memory of seeing this seal before. At Hozuki Castle, she thinks, and glances up. Is it draining you? Reaching for chakra hurts? Nagato nods, purple eyes flickering from her to the sounds of fighting around the corner.
Like fire.
The heavenly prison binding technique. That, at least, is one Konan knows how to break, which makes this the first spot of good luck in a string of very bad days. Hold still, she orders, and calls a sweep of water out of the air around them, molding it over the lines of the seal and holding it there as she pours chakra into the jutsu. Jiraiya was likely the one to place it, judging by the strength of the technique, but Konan has desperation on her side. She can feel the moment that it gives, cracking with a burst of heat that makes Nagato wince, and lets the water drop to the ground with a relieved breath. Nagato flexes his fingers, then raises his hand. Chakra sparks, sharp-edged and warm, and Konan can't suppress a small smile.
We should... They took Yaiko's body.
Her breath catches in her throat. Of course they did. What hasn't Konoha taken from them at this point? She meets Nagato's grim eyes, sees the echo of her own feelings there, and hesitates for a long moment before she nods. They'll get Yaiko back. Konoha doesn't deserve to be his resting place, not after they were the ones who helped kill him. Jiraiya-sensei will know where he is, she offers, and Nagato makes a sound of quiet agreement. He holds out his hands, and Konan takes them in a tight grip, dragging him up to loop his arm over her shoulders again. It's lucky that he's only an inch or so taller than her, and weighs even less, or fighting like this would be out of the question. As it is, she staggers a step before steadying, turns toward the side alley. Golden chains burst into the air, thrumming with levels of chakra nearly on par with the Jinchuriki, and Konan leaps back, but not quickly enough. They twist around Nagato, dragging him out of Konan's grasp, and she cries out as he's hauled back towards Kushina. You're not going to get away with invading my village, you know, Kushina says fiercely, sliding her katana out of its sheath with her free hand. Her red hair is a cloud of blood around her as she braces herself, one last pull of her chains wrenching Nagato out of reach. Blue chakra sparks, covering Nagato's body with a ripple of power. And like watching time run in reverse, his body starts to fill out, wasted muscle rebuilding itself, the holes where the chakra receiving rod stabbed through his body filling out again. He gasps out a sound of pain, even as the chains flicker out of existence, and collapses onto the ground, breathing hard. Nagato! Konan cries and raises her hands. In an instant, the air is whirling with origami weapons, driving Kushina back even as she snarls, and Konan dives forward, throwing herself between Nagato and the other kunoichi. Jiraiya is right behind Kushina, Yagura still in the street and fending off her paper clones, but Konan doesn't hesitate. She brings every last one of the weapons around her to bear, hurls them at the other nin with all the force of her chakra behind them, and stoops to drag Nagato back over her shoulder. As they rise, he gets his feet under him and stands under his own power for the first time in 7 years.
Nagato, Konan whispers, torn between wild disbelief and a flare of hope like she hasn't felt since Yaiko died.
Nagato's Rinnegan eyes are wide as he stares down at his hands, no longer emaciated and showing every bone too clearly.
I'd forgotten, he says,
and there's something in his voice like awe, like wonder and joy and grief all tangled up together.
It's been so long since I split my powers that I'd forgotten what it feels like to have them all so close, so strong.
Glancing up, he meets Konan's startled gaze and smiles for the first time since Yaiko's death.
Konan, I can feel him. He's close.
Yaiko's body? Konan catches the flash of movement and leaps aside, whirling Nagato behind her and calling more paper out of her skin. It blurs into a tornado around them, then lashes forward, folding into shuriken and spears as it flies. Jiraiya curses and dodges, a gout of fire attempting to knock the weapons aside. Konan reinforced her origami long ago, though. Konoha is known for its katon users, after all, and there's no effect. Slender fingers catch her wrist, pulling her around to look at her partner. And with a blaze like hope in his eyes, Nagato says, not just his body. Konan's heart trips over itself, breath tangling up in her throat, and she smiles in return. She pushes Nagato back to let him brace himself against the building, and then steps away. Easy enough, with those words ringing in her head, to summon every last bit of chakra she usually holds in reserve, to bring it sweeping up around her with a wave of paper spinning through the air. Do it, she agrees, fierce and all but choking on the ephemeral promise of joy. I'll guard you.
You always do.
Nagato's fingers squeeze hers gently before he sinks back, eyes closing and brows furrowing in concentration, as his familiar chakra sparks and leaps, a flame catching dry tinder. Konan breathes in, breathes out, and turns to face the three enemy shinobi, letting her Akatsuki cloak slide off her shoulders and crumple to the ground. There's no lake made of papers here, the way there is in Ame. No way to trigger her greatest jutsu. But she'll make do. Nagato is counting on her. Yaiko is counting on her. And she'll never let herself be used against them ever again. Konoha stands in the way of peace, she says, and her form shatters into sheets of paper that fill the air like snowfall. So I will remove you from our path. Kakashi can remember with painful clarity every time in his life he's felt true fear. His father's death, Obito's, Rin's, when Minato didn't return from facing the Kyuubi, Orochimaru in the forest, killing intent brought to bear. And now, watching Obito step back, Mokuton sliding away to let Kurama drop to his knees. It's too still, too silent. Even Kisame has paused his relentless advance, watching with something close to glee as Kurama's head bows, red hair tumbling to hide his face. Clawed fingers scrape the stone, and he's breathing hard, practically gasping for air, but he doesn't move. Kakashi's Tonto is a handful of steps away, but Kurama doesn't lunge for it, doesn't make any move to attack even when Obito crouches down in front of him. Up, Obito orders, cool and expectant. Kurama should snarl, should slash at him, try to feed him his own heart for that presumption. Instead, a shudder racks Kurama's frame, and then he pushes up, gets his feet under him, and rises. His head stays down for one more moment, long enough for Kakashi to hope, desperately, urgently, madly, that it's some kind of ploy to catch Obito unawares, but he takes a shuddering breath, then raises his head. The pinwheel eyes stare back into Obito's face. Without a word, Obito reaches out and passes a hand across Kurama's chest, making the seal there shatter and fade. He steps back, turning away, and says, "I'll return for you later." Kakashi wants to shout, to rage, to throw himself at Obito and tear through him for this, but his feet are frozen. His throat is too thick with something like terror to make so much as a sound. He stares at Kurama, standing there without so much as blinking, and watches black-edged red light fracture and spark across his skin.
"Boss?"
Kisame asks, and when Obito keeps walking, he takes three long steps and catches the Uchiha's arm.
"Obito,"
he repeats, tone losing its lightness. Obito pauses, though he doesn't turn. "I have to go, Kisame," he says, low and dark. Kisame casts a glance at Kakashi, still braced for a fight, and then slings Samehada over his shoulder.
"I'm coming,"
is all he says, as easily as if he isn't abandoning a fight. That makes Obito turn, mask tipping up to look at the swordsmen for half a heartbeat before Kamui whirls them both away. As if Obito's departure is a trigger, Kurama finally makes a sound, low and thick and rough, and Kakashi's eyes snap back to him. Kurama staggers a step, shoulders hunching, and he lets out a snarl that vibrates through Kakashi's bones, through all the portions of his brain that still know how to look at something and mark predator in a single glance. "Kurama?" he asks, despite how every instinct is blaring a warning. Kakashi's always been good at ignoring those sorts of instincts, though. He takes a step forward, then another, until he's only a handful of feet away. "Kurama, you can break a genjutsu. I know you can." Kurama screams. He hunches forward, curling in on himself, and human skin tears. His entire form convulses, shifting like something is moving inside of him, and Kakashi's blood crystallizes to ice within his veins.
Oh no.
Black-edged red chakra boils out to saturate the air around him, fills the cavern, and drives Kakashi back to where he left Aoba and Genma. Within the mass, Kurama lets out a long, low cry that deepens into a snarl too vast for a human throat, and his body wavers like a heat mirage. In the same moment, the chakra brightens, firms, and bloody orange fur rolls across it like a tremor. A huge form shifts into tangibility, almost too large to be contained in the room. Angled ears pressed flat against the ceiling, 9 tails lash the air as sword-sharp teeth shut on the sound of pure malevolent rage, and black-streaked eyes slide open to reveal a spinning Sharingan. As vast as a nightmare, burning with malice, the Kyuubi no Kitsune turns its head to look at Kakashi and grins.